This is a Sandy Boy Productions podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to All Have Another Podcast with Lindsay Hine. I'm your host, Lindsay. Thanks so much for joining us today. Today on the show, Kate Grace is joining us. Kate is an Olympian from 2016. She's a professional track athlete with Nike, and she is also a new mom. She lives in Boulder, Colorado, and is navigating her professional running career as a first-time mom. I love seeing how she's navigating this and making choices to train in a way that makes sense and is healthy for her life and where she is in the phase of life that she is in. Kate has an 800-meter personal best of 157.20, and she was first on this podcast back in July of 2021. Do you all remember the summer of Kate Grace when she ran to her first Diamond League victory and three personal bests in 9 days? We had her on at that time, and it's so good to reconnect with Kate and catch up with her. If you enjoy this episode of the podcast, please leave us a quick rating and review so that other listeners can find us, or potential new listeners can find us. That would really mean the world to me. You can find everything we talk about at sandyboyproductions.com. That's my website. And if you check out lindsayhine.com, that is my personal website, and I've got training plans over there. If you're looking for a half marathon or marathon training plan to get you through your next cycle, they are super detailed, very well thought out, and beautifully designed. They have pace charts in them, pre and post run stretching and strength routines, just really fully comprehensive. That's lindsayhine.com for half marathon and marathon training plans, beginner to advanced. All right, friends, and I want to let you know I'm going to be at the Bay Shore Marathon May 25th, Saturday, May 25th. This is in beautiful Traverse City, Michigan. This is the 42nd annual Bay Shore Marathon. The marathon and the half are actually sold out, but you can still grab a spot in the 10K. By the time this airs, it might be sold out as well. I'll be hosting a live podcast recording on Thursday, May 23rd with Des Linden at the historic Traverse City Opera House. You can register at bayshoremarathon.org for that. And then get this, the name of one person that's registered for the show will be pulled on May 10th for an exclusive dinner with myself and Des prior to the show. We will also be hosting a shakeout run on Friday morning, and Des will help me send off everybody in the morning for the races, as I will be doing the race announcing as well. So definitely check out bayshoremarathon.org. Let me know if you'll be there. I'm so excited to see everybody in Traverse City, Michigan. All right, friends, please enjoy my conversation with Kate Grace. All right. Today on the podcast, we have Kate Grace joining us. Welcome to the show, Kate.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So it's been a few years. I think the last time we talked, I can't remember if it was after you became an Olympian in 2016 or after the summer of Kate Grace in 2021.
I kind of think it was after 2021. I think it was after like that summer. So I missed the Olympics that year, but had like my best season, I guess.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I'm so glad to catch up. There's been so many changes since then. Probably the biggest being that you are now a mom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. He's like 11 months, maybe yesterday or something. Aww. So it's kind of crazy. I can't believe they were coming up on a year. Yeah, it's been so much fun and just like, I don't know, a whole nother world.
Yeah. What are you doing for the birthday? The first birthday. I always feel like the first birthday of the first kid is a big deal.
I know. We're trying to figure. I mean, honestly, it's probably just gonna be like a party with our friends. My mom.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. My mom's gonna come to town. We've just tried to figure out. Actually, Patrick, my husband, is like loves baking, so he's really excited about the idea of making a cake, which I like because I feel like the cake is kind of a deal, and I mean, I follow a recipe, but I'm not super creative. But so that's going to be, I think, fun for Patrick. And I'm just looking at like right now River is my son and he's like climbing over everything. So I'm looking at different like gifts to get him, and I want to get him one of those like kind of triangles where they can kind of like climb around. So I don't know. I just, he's just very, very fun to watch and is like very interactive. So it's just like, it's been great.
Yeah. It changes once they become interactive and like responsive to you and like doing all this. Like you're about to enter the cutest, also most difficult phase because they're into everything. Yeah. They just keep getting cuter.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like we're in a very cute phase and he's not walking yet. He can climb up on stuff, but he is like opening everything. And I feel like he's already so fast. We joked that like he's crawling. He is like my fast twitch muscles because he was like sprint off in his little crawl. So it's going to be a lot when he starts walking, but
yeah, maybe you have an 800 meter runner on.
Yeah, exactly.
What does Patrick, your husband, do for work?
He's like in sales in the outdoor industry.
Okay,
he
cool.
He was a swimmer in college. So our whole thing is always like, is River going to be a swimmer or a runner? And I always joke that like swimming is the most boring sport. So, and they have to get up at like 5 a.m. So if he starts swimming, you have to take him to the morning practices. But when, definitely the body type right now looks more like Patrick.
Okay.
And the way he crawls looks like swimming. So I may lose the battle, but.
It's wild, these kids on swim teams. They really do. Gosh. They like swim at like 5 a.m. before school.
Yeah, which I guess it's because the lane, it's so hard to get lanes. But oh my gosh, I can't imagine like how much sleep you need when you're that age to be having to get up that early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us about like deciding to become a mom in this season of your career and life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was I definitely never thought I would do this and then keep running. The way it worked is I had that like best, I missed the Olympics in 2021, but I had like that, whatever, like my season was the best season ever. I ended that year ranked third, like in the world rankings.
Wild.
And then I had a great fall and basically I ended up like, getting like getting like a bad case of COVID and just like my training tanked and it was just like was not recovering quickly. And it just looked like I was going to miss that next year was Eugene, like the Eugene Worlds. And I like definitely like once you do well one year, you just like your mind goes off, right? And I was like, I'm going to go to Eugene, like totally blow up. And then I thought I was going to retire. I was like, I'm going to go to Eugene, have my swan song and then retire and like go start a family. But definitely like it just, you know, when like stuff isn't coming together, I wasn't able to put training together. I felt just like crappy. And it was just like this kind of sinking feeling of like, I don't know, I've never been that like depressed in my training where I was like, I think probably also because I never was so results oriented. It was like, I know how this year is going to go and I'm going to finish and I'll be great and end on a high. And then it just like, obviously, whenever that starts happening, like the world gets in the way or like it's always. Yeah. So I both was like very clear that year was not going to be great, but also, I don't know. I think it just clicked in my mind. Like I want to have a family. I want this to happen. And it also doesn't have to be like this linear thing. I don't have to like finish running and then start a family. Like they're actually, and as we see like more and more examples, like there are women who can do, you can do both. You can have them similar timing. It actually randomly was a talk. I had like a phone call with my first pro coach out of college was Frank Gagliano, who's just like this grandfather. And he just like, he heard my training was kind of like, but I was struggling with training. And he was just basically like, well, you could always have a kid and go for 24. And it literally was like that moment was just like this feeling of calmness came over my body because I'd been so tense. Like I need this year to work. I'm going to finish. My whole life plan will start. And it was just like, oh, there are other ways to do this. And it wasn't exactly at that moment, but literally like I started talking to Patrick and within like a few months, a lot changed. We've been together for 7 years and we'd gotten engaged that January, like on our like 8 year anniversary. And basically I was like, so what do you think about getting married at the courthouse and trying to have a kid? But because just like the timing, then I started really thinking about the timing, like, oh, if we want this to happen, like this has to happen. Like we need to start moving. Anyway, our families were like, not, my mom was like, no, that you need to, we're having a little bit of a wedding.
She wanted a wedding.
Yeah. but basically like that, it, the timing then became like, okay, we're going to like, let's start, like, we want to have a baby now because I want to, if I want to be able to come back for the 24 season. Yeah. And I mean, everything, it definitely was like a practice in like, faith and like, I knew what was right. And also just like knowing that everything just from then on just felt like right because it was like meant to be in a way. And I like really enjoyed my pregnancy. I trained through my pregnancy and am really excited about competing this year also. And I'm like, and I've also loved the like time as a young mom, not young mom, but like a mom of a young kid.
Yeah, you can call yourself young. It's all good. That's interesting to me that he, your coach, Gags, said that, like that even like brought that up. I think that that's unique that he would just throw that out there.
I know. I mean, he's like, I mean, 85 now and it's not he's very much like a grandfather figure. And it was just like, it was random that I talk with him every once in a while, but it's funny. Yeah, it was funny that I was talking with him and obviously that had always been on my mind, but it's just interesting how things happen. Like, it wasn't, again, that was the deciding point. But for some reason, the way he's, you know, some people in your life, the way they say things just, like, make it seem obvious and simple. It's like, oh, I'm fighting so hard against something right now. And, like, this can actually be simple and I can do it a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. And also some people, like, I feel like some people, I'm like, I take things they say as, like, profound statements. Yeah. And I'm like, yes, let's go do that. Maybe that's why he's such a good coach or such a famous coach too.
Yeah.
So you had COVID, long COVID, like pretty severely before you had your baby, before you were pregnant.
Yeah. So that's basically, I mean, it was just crappy and like hard when, and it was just like the time, even especially then, like people didn't know how recovery was happening or like what the timeline to expect. And so I got COVID in December and this was like in March that I still was feeling like pretty barely could like barely run basically.
Wow.
It was just like banging my head against the wall, not knowing how the recovery was going to happen. And, that's when it was like, okay, it's going to be hard for this year to come together. Definitely not the way that I wanted it to.
What did doctors say? Like, were they like, you're going to come around like this? I mean, because like you said, like people really didn't know, like if you were having really long versions of it and like struggling to get back, like we didn't know. So like, do you feel normal now?
Yeah. People really didn't know anything. And it was like, honestly, it was very hard, especially as someone who generally is like a little bit more like gets nervous about that kind of stuff. Like if you look online, it's just like, if you look online, there's basically no cure. People just say that they're never better. But it also is just like this weird segment of people that I don't know. Obviously, people who are feeling better aren't going to go post on these random forums.
Right.
So like nothing good ever happens in random like depths of online forums, you know?
Yeah.
and that's where I was getting information. I was like, okay, this is great. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
I actually, what person that I credit with like also calming me through that is this like basically a therapist that I've worked with throughout my career, Dr. Arpeia, based in Eugene. And I was like, and I was just pretty like depressed when things weren't getting better. Cause it's just hard when you like have no timeline and you're like, we're just at the top of the world athletically and you can like barely run. And I talked to him and he's like such an angel man. And he just basically, the first time I talked to him, I remember just being, it was just basically like, yes, like this post-viral conditions, which he would call them post-viral syndromes, is not new. Cause I think the scary thing is this idea that like, it's only with this. He's like, people get weird reactions to mono, which also clicked in my brain. Cause I had mono really badly in college. Like people after viruses, some people like will get post-viral syndromes and they'll have bad reactions. And it's your body telling you that you need to heal and that is going to happen and you need to listen to it. And my other thing at that point, again, I was like, I was upset and I was like really emotional all the time. Like I was crying all the time, which is just not me. And he was like, you need to listen to that. Like if you're crying, it means like your body tells you it's exhausted or it's like overtapped in different ways. And sometimes it'll tell you that through, like, as we know, like if you're just randomly starting to cry, like it's probably a sign and you're probably overexerting yourself and you need to rest. And you, and like your body will heal itself. And I guess that maybe sounds woo-woo, but just like coming from this man who just was like, just made it, he like demystified it. Like, it's okay. People take longer to respond to some viruses and you will get over it. And I don't know if he was necessarily basing it on science, but just like, I was so thankful for his guidance in just like not freaking out and allowing me to just like, okay, my body will heal as it needs to heal. If that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. You also wonder too, like, how like fired up was your nervous system just totally. Like waiting to get it back, like, yeah. Like anticipating it and like what that can do to all of our other functions, our GI system, like everything. Your heart rate.
Yeah, everything is off. And then like, of course, yeah, exactly. The only way that I could tell things were off is like by tracking heart rate and stuff. But then it's like you get obsessed with it. Yeah. And it's like, it's not going to be magic and it's not going to be like, and his other analogy that was helpful is like, as we know with training, it's not like every day is necessarily better. So if you have, it's that the sum of the next 3 months is better. But if every day you're like, oh, I need to be better, then any day that there's a slight blip, it's like, oh no, you think like, oh, I've reverted and your mind starts spinning. But no, you need to look at the trend line, which is kind of obvious, but to me was very helpful again. Just like, okay, let's think of like, is the week better, you know, not just day by day.
Yeah. Do you still work with him?
I do. He actually had to step back, sadly, from his practice. But it's one of those things, I don't know, it's so interesting with people like that who you work with like in a professional capacity, right? But he's like touched my life so much and I'm just like so thankful for him as a person. Yeah.
Hey everybody, a quick break here to let you know that Lagoon pillows are the best pillows you could ever imagine. There are no better pillows on the planet, and if you aren't sleeping on one, you're doing it wrong. I think you are, at least. If you want to get optimal rest and recovery, check out lagoonsleep.com/Lindsay. You fill out a 2-minute sleep quiz and they line you up with a pillow that is perfect for you and the kind of sleeper that you are. I will not go back. Now's the time to check it out. It's lagoonsleep.com/Lindsay and use the code Lindsay for 15% off your first order. Back to the show. Okay, so you decide to get pregnant, you get pregnant. Timeline of joining Team Boss.
So I actually joined Team Boss before the big year. Yeah. So it was after
2021, right?
Yeah. So it was definitely there through like initial huge high, and then pretty big low in terms of like dealing with an athlete who went from like literally top of the world to like can't go on a run is not fun. And then to be like, oh, by the way, I'm going to get pregnant.
Also going to do this big life thing.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, everyone was like super supportive and it was like very fun in a ways. Because I mean, then I basically was like, in a weird way, kind of healing as I was getting pregnant. So a lot of people have obviously, I mean, I think I was very lucky with the way that my pregnancy felt, but I know people have like very hard nausea or different things. But for me, I felt worlds better than I had previous months. So it just was like just this wonderful kind of lifting. And then it was funny because I had obviously like the fatigue of the first trimester, which after having all the COVID stuff, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to be not tired. But it was different.
So relatively easy pregnancy. You enjoyed being pregnant. I don't feel like I hear a lot of people say that.
I know. It's funny. I don't know if it's genetic. Like I talked to my mom and she had a very similar experience of like really enjoying being pregnant. It surprised me. I think especially as an athlete, I'm so used to obviously like my body being this like tool and also just like being extremely fit all the time. Mm-hmm. So it was surprising to me that I like loved it so much. I think in a weird way, like it made me feel more feminine than I have. Mm-hmm. And I think I liked that. And I think, it just like, it gave me kind of a purpose. Whereas like the fatigue of the COVID felt this like awful and I couldn't do anything. The fatigue of the first trimester was like, well, there's a baby growing inside me, so it makes sense. There's a reason for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I love that. And the fact that it made you feel more feminine, like you liked that.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, obviously you gain weight, like it's just different. There's like more fat than is normal than I'm used to. But, I think as somebody who just has not like, yeah, it's like, I haven't had like boobs in a butt as much. Last few years, you know? So it's like, this is great. And then when the belly starts, like, it was kind of fun. Obviously the last few months get big, but I also then think that's just genetic because I'm tall.
Yeah.
I didn't have the feeling of like total enormity, whereas I know some friends who are shorter, it's like,
oh yeah,
yeah, you like you can't even move at all, so
yeah, it's different. How tall are you?
I'm 5'8", so I'm not like that tall, but I definitely like tall enough that I know that, or I was just thinking that was one of the reasons why it wasn't like as bad.
I feel like that's true. I'm 5'6" and I always felt like I'm like had a little bit longer there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. So coming back from baby. So you had originally in your whole career plan, you figured like, but when I have babies, I'm going to be retired from the sport.
Yeah.
And you're so right. Like more and more people are showing us that like that doesn't have to be the case. Maybe some people don't want to get back to it though. Right. Oh, totally. Like, did you go into it thinking like I want to come back, or did you go into it thinking we'll just see how this goes?
I went into it thinking I want to come back very, very strongly. I don't know. But I think there was twofold for me. It wasn't only that I always thought I'd be done, but I also just like, I mean, at this point, I never thought I would be running competitively for this long. And I think like, or having my best years, like in my 30s. And so that has also been surprising and was like nothing that I would have expected. But also like you definitely see that. I mean, you see it more in the distances, but you definitely see people in the distances that are like totally excelling. And so I don't know. It's just like both of those things. I think it's just realizing that what I had these preconceived notions that weren't necessarily true, but definitely like, I just love running so much. And I feel like I had this video of myself when I was in COVID, when I was doing I had this idea that I was going to make like a YouTube channel of like my experience, which in retrospect would have just been the most depressing shit or the most depressing thing. It would have been so depressing because I literally like was just like upset the whole time. But I would take these videos of myself, like talking to camera as if it was like a little vlog or something. But it was just like me being like up, like crying basically. But one of them in the very beginning was just this idea that when I was not able to run, just like getting so clear with myself that running feels like such a gift to me, like my, like feels like my gift to the world. And very much like, I don't know what it is, but I just feel like things are right. Like that is 100% my flow state. And like very just, yeah, it feels like this magical thing that I have, that I know I have, and is like wonderful that I'm able to do it. And so I just like, there's never been any doubt in my mind that like, while I'm able to, I will like manifest this, if that makes sense.
Yeah. How did you handle, you know, like we all, even when we try not to, or think we've outgrown it, we all deal with comparison in our lives. Mm-hmm. And like, you've had so long where you had to go through the COVID situation, then you had a baby and now you're coming back. Like, how did you deal with like knowing I'm still in this game? It's just a different season for me, and not like feel left out, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I do think that's why the pregnancy helped. Like, I went to Eugene to the World Championships in 2022, and I knew I was pregnant, but I was like 6 weeks, very, very early. So it was really interesting. I have a little vlog of my fake video series that I'm never going to post of that, because I was watching the 800 and I like very much had visualized being in that race. But I was like kind of walking around, like knowing I was like 6 weeks, like had just taken the test and like could possibly be having a baby, if things went well. And it was, I think the whole way it worked just felt like, again, as I'm saying, this is right. I'm on my path. I also read this, like, kind of not, like, self-help book. I know I try to stay with too much from self-help books, but this is the last one I read. It was all about this idea of stepping stones and, like, okay. The best way the metaphor there was, like, the best way to get to – if you're in a pond, you can't necessarily chart – like, you're trying to get out. You're trying to get to some, like, goal. You can't chart a line to that goal. The best way to get there is just look from where you are and, okay, what's the next best step? Like, where's the next best stone to step to, or, like, lily pad to jump to, or whatever? And then through this process, you'll just, like, wait, what's the next best one? You just basically, like, hop your way toward where you want to go. And so I very much was, like, in my mind, I had this little thing in my notes app. I was, like, I am, like, just taking the next best step, and this is what is good for me. And I think when you're having, again, when you are in it with pregnancy and then in it with a newborn, it's easy to just, like, be in your space. What's going to be my challenge is now, like, me starting to race, and how do I not compare? And that's, like, I think it's going to be, yeah, the big one.
So now we're entering, well, we're in indoors right now. What is your game plan?
Yeah. I wanted to race indoors, but I had a little bit of a setback. So I had to take a few weeks off running, just with my SI. So I'm basically going to start running outdoors. My first race will probably be, like, that last weekend of April, first weekend of May.
Okay.
So yeah, it's going to be interesting. And it will, I mean, it's crazy. It will have been, like, 2.5 years since I
was
close, which I don't know. I'm just, like, a delusional person, and we'll see how it goes, I guess. I mean, Ellie just raced, and, like, her first race back on the track, like, almost broke the American record in the 3K. So it's, like, definitely, I think, not unreasonable that, like, a highly competitive, good person can just come back and run well. But obviously that's, like, also not everyone does that. So, yeah. We'll see. I think I'm gonna do some races. I basically will need to try to race as much as possible before the Olympic trials. So I think what I'm gonna do is basically try to race, like, every 2 weeks, and get into a routine of that and kind of, like, see how stuff progresses. I don't know. It's very much like a let's see how this goes situation.
Yeah. But I love that you said delusional. I think it was McKenna Myler before the Olympic trials, which she just placed 7th,
yeah,
10 months postpartum, another mom to be like, okay, you know, she can do it. I can do it. She, one of her posts just said, stay delusional. I love that.
It's so true. Yeah.
It's like, just believe it.
Yeah. I mean, I think obviously it's interesting because there's a funny, obviously my issue is I've had the negative of that, right? So, like, I've had with the COVID stuff, like, I was whatever, not delusional, like, I was so set on my path, and then it was like, oh, life gets, like, clearly there's another plan for me, and it can be hard when you are, like, so far off where you thought you were going to be. But I still believe in this idea that, like, life is better when you just, like, believe in yourself and believe that things are going to work out as they should, you know? And, like, and that means, for me right now, it means, like, I'm putting in the work with running, and I'm putting in the work, like, raising my baby. And, like, I feel so strongly that those are the two things I'm meant to be doing. And then, like, whatever happens from it is, like, will be good. I don't know if that makes sense, but.
Yeah. So tell us what that looks like. River is 11 months.
Mm-hmm.
Your husband, what did you say he does again? Sales?
Yeah. No, works from home, which is nice, but.
Oh, he works from home. Okay.
But basically, I mean, oh my gosh, one of the things that has worked out so well is we have this woman who I've just, like, she's, like, just graduated from CU, and I heard her last summer. It was meant to be just, like, for a summer job where she was working 4 hours a day watching him. But she's agreed to come on for the year working 4 hours a day, which has been incredible for me because it's, like, makes it affordable. Like, as we know, childcare is expensive, but it's, like, perfect. I basically, it, like, can batch my training where I have those 4 hours, I do my training. And then I get home, and then I have my, like, time with River. And then Patrick gets off work at, like, 5:30. I would say one of the things that we've changed after I had the SI thing is Patrick gets up at six. Patrick gets up when River gets up and lets me sleep another hour. Because the biggest thing that I noticed is I have like, I wear an Aura ring to like track sleep and heart rate and stuff. And the biggest thing I noticed is like, I thought I was getting a lot of sleep, but like for a mom, but I'm still like, it's drastically less than me as a pro athlete with no kids. So I, for me, like a lot of, I was getting like 7.5 hours a night, maybe like with 1 week, but that's like, then like for a mom, that's great. But,
yeah. And like somebody who's not an elite athlete.
Yeah, exactly. But like I used to sleep probably 9 hours a night. Yeah. And as an elite athlete and younger athlete. So I'm like, of course I'm going to get little injuries. Like I need to really, like my focus needs to be sleep. And like River does sleep for way longer than that. It's just on me that then I want time with Patrick and I'd like, I don't go to bed right away, you know? Mm-hmm. So one of our things was like, first of all, get a little bit better with like TV and like actually going to bed.
I know.
And then he takes the first hour in the morning and I get up at 7:20.
Yeah.
And that's been huge also.
That is huge.
Yeah.
When did he start sleeping through the night?
We're going to have another kid and I'm going to be like, I'm going to have a rude awakening. He's been like pretty straightforward.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Like I want to say as early as almost could it be. Like I read like Baby Wise and.
Oh, you did all
like
those things.
All those ones. And I feel like they always say like what's like 10, 12 hours by 12 weeks. And I feel like we were like 2 weeks later. And
okay.
So
amazing.
It was pretty good.
I like prided myself in not reading any books or anything. And then I like didn't have kids who slept very well. I'm like maybe Baby Wise is really popular for a reason.
I mean, everyone says it's just like completely the baby and that doesn't really matter what you do. So I don't know.
I don't know. One of my best friends just had twins and at 38, these were her first babies too. So
just
a different phase of life, right? I was 28 when I had my first. And I mean, she, because it was twins, did it by the book to a T. And these kids have been sleepers from the start. Like, because she knew to survive twins, like she wanted to get a handle on it. So I think it probably works unless you have.
I mean, to be fair, I don't even know how you do it with twins. That would be crazy.
I know. It's wild.
Yeah.
So, okay.
April. Yeah. So basically I have, so he does the morning and then I take time until, and then Grace comes at 9. And I guess, looking forward through this year, I'm going to be more like kind of on my own schedule. And part of it was just like, I need to have, it's nice for me. I think I'm finding that like, as a mom, I'm kind of wanting to like be very in control of how my schedule works daily so that I can then, just like maximize what my training is.
Cause you're saying, cause with Team Boss, would you have like, scheduled practice times and stuff like that? And you want to be able to say like, I want to practice at 1 instead of 10 today or what?
Yeah, basically. And like just small things where, I think the other thing is I'm kind of just experimenting around like what's going to work best for me. I think I'm very much in a phase of like let's be open to different possibilities of like what is going to work best for mom Kate as the athlete, which like was different than it was even a few years ago, you know? And so maybe that's instead of doubling, it's like I can do a cross training session right after my run or I don't know. I'm really into right now, like going on walks instead of doubles where I like do like, I take the stroller and go up, walk uphill. I've always been like a little bit of like a renegade in that sense with training. And so it's kind of fun for me to like, just be open, as I said, just like be open to what the possibilities are about like what my best life looks like with training now.
So moving forward, are you going to self coach for now and then play it by ear?
Yeah. As I come back from the injury, yes. As I come back from the injury the next like few months. And then I hope that we'll have, there's a, like, I have like a few kind of mentors in my life who are going to help me be more like kind of be like coaching, like help with coaching as I get into like actual race prep. mostly so that I don't have to like overthink anything.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting thinking about like the team environment too and becoming a mom, because are you and were you the only mom on Team Boss?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because, you know, you have like the NAZ group and it's like, seems like everybody's a mom over there. I'm just trying to think of different pro groups, and it just brings a totally, your life just totally changes.
Yeah. I mean, on the positive, like, it was honestly so fun. Like, the girls.
I bet they loved the baby.
They love him. Oh, and he, I swear that, like, it's been great for his development. He's so social. I think because he's, like, always, he would come to practices. Or before I was running, I just like bring him out. Or last fall we went to CB and to Crested Butte like for a little bit. And he, yeah, they're just like the best with him, or they would like help watch him for a second. It's really, really sweet. So that in a way has been like very, very fun for them all to see. And it's also interesting for me, like I don't have a ton of mom friends here. But yeah. I have, because most of my friends here are runners, which, as we're saying, moms can be elite runners, but like, yeah. It's the way it all works right now. But yeah, in that sense, it was like, because of that, he was the special one. So.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I always say, like, isn't it so special to see your people like love on your baby?
Like, yeah.
There's just like nothing better.
It's so true. It makes me really, really happy.
I sometimes feel sad because my friend that I mentioned, that the twins, like, she did that with all of my kids. And then when she had her babies, we moved away. And I feel like I haven't been able to develop that relationship and have that, like, special bond. Also, when you have your kids, you're, like, a little bit distracted from being, like, you know, obsessed
with true. I know.
Your friend's kids.
Yeah, it is interesting. It's, like, and you're right. Like, my closest friends from college have kids, but they live all back on the East Coast. And so it's just different when you don't get to see them as much.
So who are you training with? Like, okay, I'm just thinking 800 meter specialists. Like, who do you do workouts with?
Well, it just, I don't know. I'm in an interesting place in my life and career in that I'm like, pretty unique. There's not many middle distance runners who are in their mid 30s. And that's also what I'm learning, is just like, I need to be very much on my, like, what is good for me, which was not necessarily what I could handle like maybe a few years ago.
Yeah.
So I mean, the fun thing with what our training is like, what, 70 to 80% is easy, right? Classic. Mm-hmm. So 70 to 80% of my running is just like easy runs, and I can do that with anybody. And there's like, so I do that with people here. It's really just like the speed work that needs to be more specific. And honestly, I'll probably like, I might see if there's like some like men in town who would be interested in pacing me a little bit.
Nice.
Yeah. It's kind of hard. There's not like really other people that are like in the exact same situation, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say, it seems like, and a lot of the Team Boss women are like run much more distance than you.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
You're by far the shortest distance. I guess Aisha is like 15.
Oh, sorry. No, there's like a 1500 meter group so when I'm with them, like they're Corey McGee, Danny Corey, Jones, yeah. And then Aaliyah just joined and she's 800 meter specialist.
Okay.
But basically moving forward, I'm not going to be like,
okay,
I'm not gonna be doing workouts with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Are
you, for an 800 meter runner, would you say you are on the higher mileage end or the lower mileage end or middle?
Definitely higher mileage. I mean, it's funny, like, seeing, sprint 800 meter runners, like, don't run mileage very much at all. I've been all over the place, but I've also tried to be a 1500 meter runner.
Yeah.
So when I was with Jerry at Bowerman, I would run like 80 mile weeks. I'd have stretches of 80 mile weeks. Now, like, my sweet spot is around 60.
Okay.
And, I may even be like down from that. It's interesting thinking about, I think as you get older, you just need to have more confidence that like your body knows and all the miles are there. And then it's like this idea there. It's always the thing where you don't want to train out of fear, right? It's not, what Joe has a thing. It's like, not, like don't mistake activity for achievement. But this idea that like you get just doing something doesn't mean it's right or good. It's like busyness does not give you like some kind of moral value, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, but taking that to training, it's like, I do think that especially as you get older, you like rest is important. If I only have a certain amount of times for like in my life or in my day for my training, like just running 70 miles because I can, or just doing however many hours of cross training because I can, is not necessarily the best thing for me, especially if I'm not able to recover. And that's always hard, because just like, you know, it's like that place of self-consciousness, like, oh, I need to be doing more. It's really big for me to have to fight that and be like, no, like, let's have confidence in what I can do, and that I just need to do enough for me.
That's such good advice. I think that so many people fall into that trap. Mm-hmm. Oh, that is so good.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I don't know how to actually like keep to it, so we'll
see. What do you think about, like, is Bowerman Track Club even a thing? Is it just totally done?
I mean, I think these things go in cycles, and Jerry I think it was pretty clear when he made the move there, like, there's a long-term vision, and he's looking to take people from college and develop them. Which, I mean, it is interesting seeing all these runners from other countries. I mean, like Jakob being like the classic one, but even from different like runners from like in Kenya, just like the people are developing. There's much more. It seems like there's more of a program where people are developing from a younger age in more of like a kind of progressed way. Whereas here in the US, because of the way it works, it's like one person gets you for 4 years and they try to just like max you out. And then, so maybe they overtrain you, or maybe they don't train you properly. It's like, you don't get the aerobic development. So I could see how like long-term, if you really want to develop US talent, you need to get them young and you need to be like, pretty good about developing them aerobically young. I don't know if that sounds like it's too militant, but yeah, that's me trying to give Jerry, give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. What is that like, thinking of like the different phases of your career? Like, I almost forgot for a minute that you were with Bowerman.
I know.
And then you have your like Wazell part of your career. Like, you have all these different phases. How do you look back on all that?
It's interesting now. I mean, it's obviously been sad for me to like, in a way, have to kind of branch off a little bit right now. Even though I think it's necessary just where I am to be a little bit more individual. So I've been thinking a lot about that, just how coaches have such an impact on your life. And then technically you leave that, or like you part ways, but it doesn't mean that they don't like still, that you don't still like have this huge place in your heart for them. Right. Or that they're not still like, in many ways, you're not still like going by what they taught you. And so it's interesting to me, even if people don't have my experience of being a pro for 12 years, and like, therefore having so much changes, you still have that from high school to college, and afterwards. And just like, how do you kind of pay tribute to these people that have made such an impact on your life, even if it's like there was a time and place for that? And it just makes me sad thinking about it, because like, oh, if you do end up doing well, like, I want them all there with me, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, even like the idea that I was talking with Gags last year, even though it had been 10 years since he coached me, it's like, I still send him pictures of my kid, and like, we still talk, and it still means a lot to me. So I guess it's just hard, because it's like, they're all in me. Nikki Hiltz actually had a great reel about this, about how like people that have taught you things are always there with you. And so I do feel that. And I wish there was a different way to like show them that, but I guess it's just texting them.
Make some reels on Instagram.
Yeah, exactly.
Text them, make some reels, write a letter. That's so beautiful though. Yeah. Cause like if you put together a really good performance or training block, it's the years of experience and the words and the coaching of all of them together that have led you there.
Totally. And it's interesting with our sport, and it's like we each have, it's individual, but then you feel so much like there's, that is your team, like your team is those people inside of you. And I even had that with honestly past teammates. Like I've become, and like some of my best friends are people from throughout my years, and it's like, they will still text each other. And so even if they're not running any like competitively anymore, it's like, it still feels like this community. I don't know. And that's probably why the running world is like so fun and quirky, is that there's all these kind of interlacing lines.
For sure. All right, friends, this podcast is supported by UCAN. If you are looking for an amazing way to fuel for your runs and you haven't checked out their Edge Energy Gels, you got to check them out. 75 plus minutes of energy per gel, no sugar or caffeine, no spikes or crashes, easy on the stomach. And you can try their gels out for free. Just go to ucan.com/another. They will send you 4 gels. You do have to pay shipping. And if you are already using their products or you want to try their energy powders, their energy gels, or energy bars, electrolyte powders, they have it all. You can go to ucan.co/another. Use the code another and that'll get you 20% off your order. I also want to say, I'm going to be doing an event in Boston. We'll be in Cambridge on Saturday, April 13th. Tommy Runs and I are going to be doing an event with UCAN and Destination Marathons. Details to be shared soon, but block your calendar for that Saturday sometime around 3 p.m. in Cambridge. It's not that far. It sounds far from downtown where all the exciting stuff is happening, but it's like a 2-mile bike ride, honestly. I stay in Cambridge every year in Boston. It's going to be super fun. And if you don't know what Destination Marathons is, they are an amazing concierge service for runners. They actually have a team going to London. They have bibs available when you go to London with them. They take care of all the logistics for you. They have your hotel reserved. They get you to the start and finish line. They have meals. I mean, everything you could need, Destination Marathons gives you a VIP experience. So go to destination-marathons.com to check them out. And again, the event is with Destination Marathons and UCAN. It's going to be so much fun. Again, check out UCAN, ucan.co/another. Use the code another for 20% off, or just get those free energy gels and check them out. ucan.co/another. I was just talking with, I don't know if you know who this person is, but her name's Andrea Pomeransky, and she ran the Olympic trials this past weekend. Mm-hmm. And she's 41. She was 27th place. She had an amazing race. And she's really like just started competing again in the last 4 years. So it's been pretty cool. But she was just talking about like how she likes the fact that she feels like she's on a little bit of a timeline. Like, I have a few more years to like maximize this potential before I might get some diminishing returns, mm-hmm. which who knows when that'll be. She might be 50. Who knows? But I'm curious your thoughts on that. Like, how do you feel about having like limited time? And when I say that, I mean like you might have another baby, you know, different things, like life things might happen, and you're an 800 meter runner. And like you said, like there's not too many 800 meter runners in their mid 30s. So what do you feel? Do you feel like a rush or anything with the timeline?
Yeah, it's interesting. The timeline thing to me is interesting because in a way, I feel like I just never die, like obviously metaphorically. Like, I feel like I've been on a timeline since 2016. Like, I had the idea of like, oh, there's probably just one more year or two more years left.
It kept happening.
In my life. Because it's like the last 8 years. Which, I mean, it's very real. Like, it's very, definitely is that possibility. So I never think more than like a year out. Which okay. maybe is honestly an issue at this point. Like, maybe if in 2016 I've been like, I could be doing this for 8 more years. I could have trained a little bit like better. Like,
yeah. quote unquote,
like more progressive or whatever. Like, with a little bit more of a longer kind of longer term vision, but I really haven't had it because I think just like, even then it was like, oh, you're kind of old for the 800. You probably move up. And it just, yeah. So I, in many ways agree. Like, I do enjoy the feeling of like very much, it forces you to be in the moment. Like, what can I do this year? And the only thing I would say is that what I learned from the like kind of getting, yeah, being the COVID and just like not getting better quick enough, is that I think part of the issue is that I basically got sick and then didn't take any time off, like was just like on it, like I am still gonna hit my workouts, like not listen to my body. And so I think the danger in that comes if you think, oh, I only have a year left, when stuff goes wrong, it can be like this feeling of like, oh, I'm just gonna push through. And our bodies aren't meant to do that, you know, like you have to, even if it sucks to take a step back and just take a breath, and even if you're like, oh no, this is my quote unquote could be my last year, you kind of like, in the end of the day, it's gonna be better to give yourself that grace and to like listen when you need to rest, you know. So that's all to say, like, again, now I had a little bit of a niggle at the end of December and I was like, okay, I, even though technically like I want this to be like the year, I need to like listen to it, and it's gonna be better for me in June if I take 4 weeks off now. So that's my updated thought on timeline. Helpful, but give yourself grace if you need it, even if it's hard, the hard thing to swallow.
Yeah, I love that. I know. I always think about that. I'm like, oh man, if I knew then what I know now, like maybe I would have just slowed down a little bit, like taking my time a little more.
Exactly.
It was what's Gabby's last name on Team Boss?
Jennings.
It was her interview I did a couple years ago, I think it was right after we moved here, and she had this quote that I love that was like, said it was something along the lines of like, actually, you do have enough time. And I was like, that is so profound and so good, because really we don't know how much time we have for anything, you know?
Yeah.
But if you think about it that way, it's kind of like calming. Like, just slow down. It's okay. There's time.
Totally. Yeah, no, you're right. And it's funny. It's interesting. Even now, like, again, when having to take a little bit of break from running, it is, you have to, at the end of the day, just like believe that it's going to work out as it should. And that taking as like the idea of like taking the right steps now, or even with my thing, like going to like whatever the next best, taking the next best step, given the information you have, is the right decision. Even if that means like, you're going into a crunch time, like it's okay. That's great. Like there is time. Actually, you do have time. Actually, like things can come together quickly. I was reading an interview with, oh my gosh, I don't even know her name because she was so off the radar. Caroline Rotich, the woman.
Oh, right. Yeah.
She was literally like not on any of the start lists.
She was sixth, right?
Yeah. But it was like her coach was saying something about how he was seeing, or this is a written interview, he was like seeing all these results from people just like hammering their workouts in December, and he was like, there's no way she has any shot. And then within the last 3 or 4 weeks, she just came together.
Wow.
I mean, if that's gonna happen, if I do well this year, it will be more like that. It's not gonna be like I'm hitting workouts out of the park in April and May, and I need to just remember that, like, things come together. They can come together at the right time.
That's right. I too was Googling who Caroline Rotich was during the race.
Well, because no one knew, because she was, or I mean, I guess obviously she like was the Boston winner, but like no one knew she was racing for a while, right?
I didn't know she was racing the trials. Yeah, that's wild. I love that though. That's a really cool thing to like take with you into this new and different cycle that you're about to do. What did you think about the trials? Like, what was going on in Boulder? Did you all have a watch party?
Yeah, I just kind of watched at my house. This is another thing. I'm doing a day off every week, like fully off.
That's nice.
Which has been really nice. And it's like also just weekend. I think for me, it's just like, it's nice having a day just with River, like where I don't have to worry about like, I don't know, a few hours away. Yeah. So,
like no plans.
Yeah. So that's been really nice. Or, anyway, but so I was with him, and then, although I've been trying to do no screens, but like sports have been sometimes a little bit iffy on that. it was so great to watch it. I don't know. Marathons are my favorite. I honestly love watching marathons of any running event. 'Cause like during the race, you start to cheer people. Like I was I literally all I cared about was Scott, right? So Scott runs the team boss. Of course. Like, he's the only person in the men's race that I care at all about. But then, like, first of all, he dropped out, which was so sad. But then it's like, I don't care about this race at all. But then, like, halfway through, I'm calling my sister being like, I literally have not wanted anything more in my life than for Zach to make this team, because it was so impressive. His run, I know it was probably stupid, but it was so impressive. Just like, and as someone, for me, like, I have to get standards coming up here. Mm-hmm. Obviously my races are like 2 and 4 minutes, but still, like, you might have to be leading races. I'm like, if I can't get the balls to, like, lead a 4-minute race, this man is leading in the heat. It was just insane what he was doing. Yeah. I loved it so much. And then I was so sad when he dropped. But then when Lenny was able to come back and, like, seeing his – because, like, it's always, like – I hate being sad for people who are making the team. Like, but then, like – so then it was like, oh, my gosh, no. Now I'm so happy for him. Like, seeing his finish and how happy he was. Oh, anyway, I get chills now thinking about it.
I know. Well, that's the thing, too. Like, with interviewing all these, especially the women, I'm like, but I want all of them to make the team. Yeah. I like them all. And I always get recency bias for, like, who I last interviewed. And I'm like, well, I want this person. I will say I think I'm most heartbroken for Sarah Hall, just because she's been at it for so long. You know, she's been working so hard.
Yeah.
You know, she's just always putting it all out there. Not that everybody's putting it all out there at this level.
She really is, though. even when she's racing, it looks like she's putting it. I'm like, how? Yeah. This looks painful. So, yeah. like you're really working. No, yeah. I mean, she's incredible. She's another one, honestly, like, doing so well. And at her age, I'm just like, I love this idea of, like, don't listen to whatever preconceived notions and just, like, run as you can run. And she was tweeted or something afterwards that she could see third for the whole last lap. And just, like, ugh. But she just fought.
She just fought until the very end.
Honestly, another person for me that was really inspiring was Jess McLean. I know her as Jess Tawn. But, oh my gosh. Just, like, so amazing. And honestly, right now is me looking toward, like, being a little bit more kind of, like, doing what I know I need. She's really inspiring to me, because I'm like, oh, she's very much, like, living her life in Arizona, doing exactly what she needs to do to be her best. And it just, like, I love it when people like that, it's like, okay, that's obviously what she's doing is working.
Right. Speaking of her, I'm, like, literally getting on a call with her in 25 minutes.
Oh, really?
All right, so it's been a while since we last talked. So let's wrap up with End of Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
At this point in your life, what's something professionally or personally you'd like to do that you haven't done yet?
This has changed in that whereas a few years ago, probably when I last talked to you, it'd be like, I want to make the team again, or I want to PR. But I am really trying to hold my professional goals to just, like, enjoying myself and being, like, my most ferocious, most, like, true to myself person. So, like, I guess really not doing, like, results goals for professional. I guess in the vein of the trials, I want to just, like, kill a race, like, from the front, or, like, very much, like, take it and do exactly what I need to do and, like, have the confidence to do that.
I love that ferocious. That's good. What's the best, most recent book you've read?
It's been baby books, like, so picture books. There's some picture books that I really like. This book called Wonder Walkers was really cute, and then, like, Baby Wise or other sleep books.
And they've clearly worked for you.
Yeah.
No more self-help. Did you just decide, like, I just don't want to put that in my mind anymore?
Yeah. I mean, that was also honestly, like, a lot of Joe's influence. He was just like, you don't need to ruminate. Just do stuff.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Peter Attia, Outlive is like,
oh, is that good?
I mean, it's kind of self-helpy, I guess, but it's like more about health and, like, kind of longevity.
Is it like biohacking?
Kind of. It's... He is a whole thing. He calls it the third wave of medicine. It's like catching. It's what medicine gets wrong and, like, how to get it better. I don't know. It's that my side interest is, like, kind of nutrition and, like, long term health. Maybe it's too self-helpy, but I don't.
Sometimes that biohacking stuff, though, I'm like, do I need to get an air purifier in every room in my house? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can get go into a hole and like just really 100%, start yeah. obsessing.
Yeah, 100%. I think I have this whole, I mean, my personality is like this, but basically he goes down four different paths. There's four different, like what he calls four horsemen of like ways that you'll become unhealthy. It's like heart disease, cancer, diabetes, or like Alzheimer's. And so my big thing is like Alzheimer's runs in my family. And so I'm very kind of interested in new thoughts about like how to keep your brain healthy.
Yeah. I mean, you might as well do all the things. Like, it's not going to hurt you.
Yeah. But as you said, you also need to like not stress. So.
Right. Like not obsess over it.
Yeah.
Like, do the crossword every day. Take the supplement. Yeah, move on. Yeah,
exactly.
What is your last message for everybody leading into this, this track season? Kate Grace comeback. Maybe not. No, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe don't.
No. I
mean,
I hope
that.
It's a comeback. I hope it's a great comeback. I just am like, I feel like all I'm ever doing is coming back. So, I think it just like, what is it? It's just enjoying. I mean, literally as my sad videos from when I had COVID say, it's like, I literally would cry and be like, I don't know how I'll ever feel normal running 8-minute pace again, which for me is easy. And like, it's just like that feeling of how sad that was. And then there was literally sometimes there was a few runs this fall where I had a long run and I would look at the time afterwards and be like, ugh, like that was like 6:40 and it's hard. It felt kind of hard. Like I wish it felt easier or whatever. And then I was like, I literally a year and a half ago could not imagine running for 2 miles. And the idea, just like how much of a gift it is to have your body, to be able to move it, to whatever way you do it. It just like, it's literally in that moment is just like the most amazing thing. And just be grateful for that.
I love it. Kate Grace, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, thanks so much for being here. Thanks, Kate, for coming on the podcast again. So good to catch up with you. Check out Kate on Instagram. She's Fast Kate over there. You can find me. I'm Lindsay Hines 626. Anything we talked about will be at sandyboyproductions.com in our show notes. You can sign up to get those delivered to your inbox every single month as well. Just go to sandyboyproductions.com, click on All Have Another, and a little box should pop up for you to sign up. I also have the link to that in my link tree on my Instagram, LindsayHine626. Check out my training plans, lindsayhine.com. Thanks so much for being here. I really appreciate each and every one of you. And we will see you next time on I'll Have Another.